time. The silent herald of life and death, success or failure. The unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes the 11th hour.
It was a city besieged by a rebel army, barricades and shattered ruins. The grim placards of a country torn and bleeding from war. Muffled guns echoing in the distance, an orchestration of violence. It was a jagged concerto which I remember only too well. My name is Jeff Nagel. The place? Well, let's just say it was in 1958. In the car with me were my wife, Margaret, and my friend Michael Murray at the British Embassy.
Soon be at the airstrip, Jeff.
I certainly hope so. Now, look out for that rubble across the road.
They told me this was the only clear road through, but it's not exactly a speedway, is it?
Michael, did you find out at the consulate why they wouldn't let us go? Jeff's an engineer. He's never been involved in politics.
Is that right, Jeff?
Why do you keep asking me that, Michael? You know it is.
And why would the Commandant himself issue a special order forbidding you to leave the country? I mean, if it's okay for Margaret to go, why can't you?
I don't understand it. All the other British and Canadian residents were allowed to leave.
Why were we held back? Well, they must have confused me with someone else, my dear.
But how could they? You always tried so hard not to get involved in the uprising.
There was no confusion, Jeff. I checked with the Commandant's aide. I placed the full weight of the British consulate against my inquiries, but all I received was a non-committal promise to see about it mañana.
Well, the main thing is to get Margaret away. I'll follow later.
Jeff!
It's all right, Margaret. Just an army patrol car.
I think I'll step on the gas just the same. We'll be a whole lot safer at the airport.
They're following us, Michael.
Well, this is a diplomatic car. They better not try any funny stuff.
Slow down, Michael. They're waving us into the side of the road. We'll have to bluff our way out of this.
If they arrest you here, Jeff, you could be involved in one of those accidents on the way back to headquarters. You know the kind of thing that's been occurring these last few weeks? A couple of shots, and if a person's important enough, a polite note of regret to his relatives.
I'll handle it, Michael. I know they want me.
No, Jeff. I'm not going to let you go. You have to think of Peter and me. We need you.
Peter needs the minimum. One parent at the very least. If you don't do as I tell you, Margaret, he's liable to lose both.
Listen, Jeff, if you want to play hero, I can think of a lot better times and places than this.
No play hero. I just don't want to do anything to jeopardize my wife's safety.
Jeff, I beg you, please don't go.
Now look after her, Michael. We managed to get our boy over to the States safely. I'll do the same for Margaret.
Senor Jeff Nagel.
Now that's right. What's the trouble, officer?
You and your wife will accompany me to headquarters, please.
My wife is under the protection of the British consulate.
That's right, Captain.
You only have orders for my arrest. Isn't that correct?
My orders
were... Use your head, Captain. You don't want to start a diplomatic incident, do you? I know from the file in my office that it was only Mr. Nagel who was ordered to stay. His wife was free to leave any time she chose.
And who are you, Senor?
On your way, Michael. I'll handle this.
Major Prio ordered me to bring Senor Nagel and his wife to headquarters.
Is that so? Well, let's say you arrested me at home and that my wife had already gone. You understand?
Oh, yes, si, Senor. It could be arranged.
No, Jeff. I'm going to stay with you.
Michael, get going.
Good luck, Jeff.
Michael! Stop the car. I can't go without Jeff.
Don't worry, darling. I'll be with you in a few days.
Come, Senor Nagel. The Commandant himself wishes to speak to you.
Isn't your Commandant feeling a little nervous these days? From what I hear, the capital will fall to the rebels by dusk.
Rumor has a thousand tongues, and all of them false. You will get in the car, please.
People are supporting the rebels, you know.
Senor.
That sounds as though they're getting closer.
Come, senor. The car.
Quickly, senor.
This way.
Who the devil are you? Why did you shoot these men?
The police will be here any moment, Alberto. If you can get into the cafe, we'll be safe.
Come, senor. There is no time to spare.
Look, would you mind telling me where you're taking me?
Later. No time to talk now.
Down this alley, senor.
But I don't want...
Stop here. I regret that we could not enter through the front door.
And what's this place?
Careful, senor. The cafe out there is crowded with soldiers and police.
This way. You will be safe in here, senor.
You mean to say there are police and soldiers just behind that curtain?
When you wish to be unobserved, choose the most obvious place. In here, if you please.
Would you mind telling me who you are?
As you must have assumed, Senor Nagel, we are rebel partisans. Please, sit down.
Your sympathies are with us, Senor?
Now look, I want you to get one thing straight. I don't give a tinker's curse what happens to your country. I've seen these crazy wars before, and they all end the same way. A few people get shot and a new...
Your pardon, senor. But when a man is arrested by special command of the commandant, it can only mean that he has information which could be of assistance to the rebels. Whether you like it or no, you have already chosen sides. Our side.
Why did the commandant refuse to allow you to leave? Why was an order sent out for your arrest?
I don't know. I haven't the faintest idea what the commandant wants me for.
Believe me, senor. In reality, we are comrades in arms.
I'm a British citizen. I don't want to be involved in any of this.
You may not be of us, but you are with us just the same.
You must know why you are so important to the commandant.
Oh, if you held a gun at my head and threatened to pull the trigger, I still couldn't tell you any more than I have because I don't know. You tell me why a civil engineer should suddenly become a pawn between two opposing forces.
I think he is speaking the truth, Alberto.
I wonder
if this man is, for some reason he does not know, of value to the commandant. We must get him out of here as soon as possible.
Ah, now you're talking.
Bring Juan and Pietro to me. They will arrange everything for Senor Nagel.
I'm very grateful to you, senor.
I should not advise you to reach for your gun, my friend.
Who are you? Were you one with us?
For you it is very simple. A blank wall and a cloth around your eyes. But for your English friend, there is a car waiting to take him to the commandant. Come, Senor Nagel.
Now, see here, they've made a mistake at headquarters. I'm a civil engineer, a British citizen. I don't know a thing that's any use to your people.
On the contrary, Senor Nagel. The fate of our city rests with you. Come, we're wasting time.
My dear Senor Nagel, I am more distressed than I can say that your journey here was so eventful.
Oh, look, Commandant, if you're going to ask me the same questions as that character in the cafe, I can only give you the same answers. I know nothing, nothing at all.
It is unfortunate, but the populace seems to regard the rebels as liberators.
Mm. Well, maybe they feel that any change of government is preferable to the one they have. Oh.
But I must compliment you on one thing, Senor Nagel.
Hmm?
The way you have held aloof from our little domestic problems has been admirable. I compliment you.
Oh, thanks. Now perhaps you'll tell me why I wasn't allowed to leave the country a month ago. Why I was arrested today, and why I...
Questions. So many questions.
I'm glad you find it amusing, Commandant. It certainly doesn't strike me as particularly funny. I have no interest in the local political setup whatsoever. All I want to do is to get out of here.
And you will, Senor Nagel.
At the moment, I feel as though I'm in some kind of crazy game where everyone else knows the rules except me.
I shall personally see to it that you are escorted to the airport. You shall also receive payment for your services to us. Shall we say... 5,000 American dollars?
Oh, look, you've got the wrong man, Commandant. How can I possibly be of any use to you?
Well, let me explain. It's quite simple, really. You see, when your company finished constructing the dam over Bido Valley, the greater part of the equipment was shipped back to the United States. Am I correct?
Yes, yes, that's right, but I...
But one truck was unable to reach the wharves. And it tried to detour and take its precious load to the airport. But the roads were blocked. Am I correct?
Yes, yes, you are. But I still don't see how it affects me.
Well, Senor, the truck was loaded with nitroglycerin. And there was the constant danger of explosion, so it was concealed somewhere out of reach of gunshot. Because your company was naturally determined at all costs to prevent any harm to the citizens.
I know all that. I was on that truck. And I supervised the unloading of the nitroglycerin.
Yes, quite. But you see, unfortunately, the driver was killed in a street skirmish shortly afterwards. But you are acquainted with the whereabouts of the explosive. Are you not?
Yes, of course I am. Wait a minute. Is that why you prevented me from leaving the country?
Let us say that I regarded you as a trump card, and the time is not yet ripe to play that card.
But this is ridiculous. I don't understand.
You hear those guns, Senor Negro? They are rebel guns. They will be in the capital by dusk, and the people will fill the streets to welcome them. There's such a warm sympathy between the rebels and the populace. It's a foolish populace.
Commandant Bayo, this may be of vital concern to you, but it doesn't affect me in the least. All I want to do is to get out of this country as soon as possible.
Senor Nagel, you will tell me where that nitroglycerin is and how it may be most speedily detonated.
Are you crazy? There's enough explosive there to blow up half the capital.
That is my intention.
Sometimes we may wonder why a football team doesn't quit playing and walk off the field when it finds itself 50 points behind with only a few minutes of play to go. What is that indomitable spirit that fills men with hope and keeps them going in spite of terrific odds? Keeps them going just to play the game according to the rules, just to get the job done as well as they know how. This kind of spirit pervaded the feelings of heavy bomber crews of the Ninth Air Force on that day of glory, August 1st, 1943, the day of one of the most secretly planned surprise bombing missions of World War II, the day of the low-level attack on the Romanian oil refineries at Ploiești. More than 170 B-24 heavily loaded bombers took off in a swirl of red dust from Benghazi, Libya, to bomb a highly defended priority target. The element of surprise in the low-level attack was to be one of their greatest weapons. But things went wrong from the start. 3 planes exploded during takeoff operations. 11 more aborted due to engine trouble. Of those that reached the target area, less than 1/3 returned to home base. The leaders of the mission encountered navigation difficulties and difficulty in identifying the specific targets. And due to the loss of that elemental hope, surprise, they also encountered devastating enemy firepower from flak and fighters. The mission was partially successful, but a horrifying experience. 5 medals of honor were awarded to the heroes of the Ploiești raid for valorous action above and beyond the call of duty. At any time, the men would have been justified in turning back. But they had a code of conduct that made them want to see the unequal game through to the end. It was a job that had to be done. A charge of the light brigade in the air as they flew down the valley of death to glory.
Are you serious about blowing up the capital?
War is one of the ugly sciences, Senor Nagel. The tragedy of war is that always the innocent suffer more than the guilty. The people have given their support to the rebels. They have betrayed the government, and now the government has no mercy for them. This explosion will destroy half the capital. It will be broadcast through our country and to the rest of the world that the rebels were responsible.
I see. Then...
Then, Senor, the people will look at their city and ruins They will rise in fury and drive out the rebels with their bare hands. The government will be restored to power by the will of the people. It is a smart plan, don't you think?
And all I have to do is to light the fuse.
You are a man of wit and some understanding, Senor Nagel.
Now, let's get this straight, Colonel Vio. You want me to show you where the nitro is, and as payment, I get an escort out of the country and a bonus of $5,000, plus the deaths of a few thousand innocent people on my conscience. Right?
Senor Nagel, you are dramatizing the situation. You are an Englishman. This is not your world. If you cooperate with me, you will be in the United States tomorrow, and all this will be just a memory.
Crazy. The whole idea is crazy.
I want only one thing from you, Senor. The location of that explosive. And I intend that you should tell me.
And if I don't?
Oh, no, be reasonable. Think of your wife and child. Think of the years that lie ahead of you. No one will ever implicate you with this disaster. All you are doing is saving your life.
And making a profit on the side.
Oh, come now, Senor. Let us not quibble. Where is the explosive?
Sorry, Colonel. I can't tell you.
Senor, don't force me to persuade you.
I know your methods, Commandant. I know what you can do. But don't forget this. If anything happens to me, the British consulate will hold you responsible.
In war, there are a thousand regrettable incidents. You will be one of them.
So that's the way it is, eh? I'm sorry, Colonel, but I'm still not going to tell you where that nitro is. A man can only die once. And personally, I think you're bluffing.
Bluffing, am I? I've lost all patience with you, Senor. I thought we could settle this like gentlemen. I did not wish to involve your wife.
My wife? But she has nothing to do with this.
Has she not? I dislike using these methods, Senor. But you are a sentimental fool, and arguments alone are not enough to convince you. Now, we were talking of your wife.
If you've hurt my wife...
Hurt her? Why, Senor, how could we hurt her? She went to the airport, did she not?
You must let me go back, Michael. Without you.
Now listen, Margaret. As soon as I get you on that plane, I'll go to the Citadel and demand to see the Commandant.
But you don't even know why they've arrested
me. Well, with a flap that's been going on these past few days, these things happen. I'll straighten it out. Now, don't worry.
All passengers for flight 12 will board the plane now, please.
This is it, Margaret.
I can't go. I can't.
Look, you know what Jeff said, and you've got to think of Peter. What the devil?
It's the police.
Into the plane with you. Come on, snap into it.
This is what you call for, Commandant.
Yes. Place it on the desk before Senor Negro.
Very good. Is that all, sir?
Yes, here Negro now.
What's the idea, Colonel?
Senor Negro, look at the handbag. Well, examine it closely. Open it if you like. I think you would agree that it belongs to your wife. Go on, Senor. Open it. I think you will find a wallet containing her passport and photos. Oh, such charming photos.
Where did you get this?
From your wife. Who else?
You took her off the plane?
I'm afraid so.
If you harm her,
you will do what, sir?
Well, now, do you realize that she was escorted by a British embassy official?
My dear Senor Negril, that is a small diplomatic incident at a time like this.
But Margaret, my wife, she has no part in this.
No. But if you insist on being so stubborn, so uncooperative, Senor, you force me to use unpleasant methods to persuade you.
I can't stand by and watch thousands of people blown up in an explosion. What kind of...
Careful, Senor, do not lose your temper. You know what sometimes happens to political prisoners?
What's the use of arguing with your type?
No use at all, Senor. Now then, enough of this. Make your decision quickly. Even though nothing will happen to you, for your wife it may be different.
You are making me responsible for the lives of thousands of people.
People that you have never met, strangers, and will remain strangers to you. Will you sacrifice the life of the person you love most for an anonymous crowd, Senor Negan? Go now. You tell me. Where is the nitroglycerin?
Well, it's in the cellar. In the heart of the capital. There are crowded apartment buildings all around it. Buildings full of women. Children.
So, that is unfortunate. But you have a child of your own. What will happen to your son if his parents die?
No, I can't do it. I won't tell you the location. If you find out yourself, that's all right. But you'll never force me to tell you. No matter what you do to me, you understand?
See?
Senor Mori from the British consulate is here.
So. All right, I'll come at once. You will have time to reconsider your decision while I attend to this gentleman. Do not try to use the intercom. I have disconnected it. No one could possibly hear you in this room. Think about my proposition, senor. You know, in our country, we have a saying, a man's world is his family. It would be such a pity to lose your world merely to ease your conscience.
So Michael's here. Well, that's something. I wonder if I could risk trying to get that intercom working. Must be connected to a main switch. Let's see what we can do. There's a wire running down to here. It disappears. Must be a secret switch somewhere. Could have been in there. Yes, that's it. Bear those wires and complete the circuit. I'll rip out this wire. Now the bare ends. Them together.
At the airport and seized her passport and personal belongings. Are you responsible for that?
Oh, it must have been a mistake, Senor Murray. At all times, we respect diplomatic immunity.
Mrs. Nagel will be seriously embarrassed when she reaches the States without her visa. And then there's the matter of her husband.
Mike!
Why are you holding Mr. Nagel?
I'm completely at a loss to assist you, Senor Murray.
Is that so? Well, I'm going to file a formal complaint, and if you know what's good for you, you'll let Mr. Nagel go. Understand?
Now what's happened to the confounded thing?
Yes, Senor Nagel. I trust you have made good use of those few minutes to arrive at the correct decision.
Yes. I'll give you my answer now, Colonel.
I knew that at heart you were a rational man. In these days, one must think of oneself, doesn't one?
The answer is no.
I see. You realize what will happen to your wife?
My wife is safe in the United States, and so is my son. You shouldn't have left an engineer alone with that intercom, Colonel. I didn't have to find the switch to make it work.
I see. Very well, pay any price you care to name.
I've already agreed to the price. My life. You're right, Colonel. One should think of oneself. But there are times when one has to think of others. And this is one of those times.
I'll make you talk. You understand? I'll make you.
You haven't a hope, Colonel.
We shall see, Senor. You are a little optimistic. Take Senor Negger to the yards. It is amazing how clearly a man can see when he has his back against the wall and his only horizon is the sunlight on a row of rifles. Once more, senor, and this is your last chance. Where are the explosives?
You'd better get the execution over, Colonel. The rebels sound pretty close to me.
The citadel is impregnable.
Oh, I'd like to be outside there with a few grenades.
Ah, but you are here, senor. And before you, there are six men with death in their hands. This is the moment when you must decide. You can speak or die. Which is it to be?
Tell them to fire!
I shall get order with pleasure, Senor Nagel. And you may be assured that if it is necessary, I shall deliver the coup de grace myself. Attention! Hello! The guides! I've blown up the guides! The tower! Get back to the tower!
Jeff! Where are you, Jeff?
Over here, Mike. I threw myself against the wall.
Get your hands untied first. Get out of here fast. You look as though the whole rebel army trampled over you.
Oh, where on earth did you spring from?
Keep down and run for cover.
Another minute. It would have been too late.
If the British consul ever hears that I joined in with an attack on the citadel, I'll be cashiered.
Oh, Mike. How's Margaret?
She's fine. We managed to get her on the plane. You're coming straight over to the embassy. We'll be safe there till the worst of this is over. Now, come on. We better get cracking.
How can we recognize devotion to freedom? One way is to be able to identify the Navy Cross, established by Congress in 1919. A cross made of bronze, it contains a design of an old sailing ship, the Caravelle, with crossed anchors and the words United States Navy on the reverse side. It is suspended from a blue ribbon with a narrow white stripe in the center. This rare award is given to any person serving in any capacity with the Naval Service of the United States who distinguishes himself by extraordinary heroism in connection with military operations against an armed enemy. Individuals who have received the Navy Cross include sailors who distinguished themselves during America's involvement with Japanese operations in China from 1937 to 1938. And men aboard the U.S. gunboat Panay, which was bombed and sunk in Chinese waters on December 12, 1937. The Navy Cross stands for extraordinary accomplishment, which a proud nation notes and acknowledges with gratitude. Who is next for the Navy Cross? It can be any dedicated seaman who so conducts himself as to be worthy of the great tradition of this honored symbol of freedom, the Navy Cross.
Be listening for another mounting drama of action and suspense when next we bring you The 11th Hour.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
We'll be right back.